In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This weekend, we give thanks to God for the gift of Jeremy. 10 years ago, June 30th, Jeremy Zeroth was installed as our cantor. This year is also the 20th anniversary of Jeremy serving as a parish musician in the church. We had a special surprise guest preacher yesterday, one of his college classmates who also happens to be a very good friend of mine, too. So let's begin this evening's sermon by pulling out your bulletin and taking a look at the cover, because all will become clear in time, Grasshopper. Jeremy, give me a B flat, an A, a C, and a B natural. That's the Bach motif. It's a kind of musical signature for Johann Sebastian Bach, the greatest composer who ever lived or ever will live, in my humble opinion. And I'll stand on Beethoven's coffee table and tell him so. But how do you get an H when note letters stop at G? In the German music scale, a B flat is sometimes called a B, and a B natural is sometimes called an H. So we have B, A, C, H. Bach. Now dig this. When you take a normal treble clef with one flat, then put an upside down tenor clef on top of it, then on top of that, you put another treble clef with no flats or sharps at 90 degrees and an inverted alto clef on top of that. And I know we need some musicologists here to help us out. The four musical clefs that are made take the shape of a cross. And the one note at the very center represents all those notes, B, A, C, H. The resulting symbol on your bulletin cover is called Bach's cross. Not only does this motif show the cross in visual form, it's also musical and kinesthetic. If you trace your finger along the path of the notes, you make the sign of the cross. While this is an interesting, if obscure, piece of musical trivia, it highlights for us that the word of the cross means more than the letters C-R-O-S-S. The cross is something that defines and shapes our whole lives as Christians. Paul says the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. We don't want to hear it. Not by nature. For Jews demand signs, says Paul, and Greeks seeks wisdom. And sinners, regardless of their cultural background, want their itching ears to be scratched by teachers who play to their own passions. To stretch our musical analogy a little further, people crave the spiritual equivalent of K-pop or Taylor Swift's latest album. Now, that's not to say that K-pop or Taylor Swift is inherently bad. I admit, actually, to tapping my foot to a couple of her songs. The point of the analogy, though, is that pop music, by design, is made for the moment. It's not going to last. I got into a right good discussion with some teens on my vicarage about this because, well, they thought for sure that the music of the Backstreet Boys was going to last forever. 2001 called, they wanted their group back. In 300 years, I'm not so sure that music scholars will be discussing the Swift motif. Rather than the cross, People want to hear sweet-sounding affirmations, touching personal stories, tips for better home life, or how to be more successful in business without really trying. Or, as is increasingly the case, people go to their church for their weekly political rally. But like last year's Billboard's Hot 100 singles, these words of power or wisdom do not have staying power. The word of the cross, Paul says, is folly to those who are perishing. It's not because the cross is outdated or boring. It's divine judgment on all that we count strong or wise or beautiful. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Similarly, beloved, has not God made weak the strength of the world too? Has not God made dissonant the music of the world? Today's hits cannot unsing the old song composed at the Tree of Knowledge, whose lyrics go, "You will be like God, knowing good and evil." That's the serpent's hit song. And that song has echoed in every generation, whether by wisdom or strength or merit. We sing to the Lord God our song of greatness. We really do need a new song to sing, you know. But there is an old song we can sing, a song of the Old Testament. And it goes like this. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. But this new song isn't a recently composed melody. This new song is a new way of thinking, a new tune for humanity to sing. Christ Crucified is a new song about a marvelous thing. So when you hear Psalm 98, which is the psalm for Christmas Day, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. It's not about, hey, can we sing some new hymns in church, Pastor? The new song is Christ. He has done marvelous things. The cross of Christ, beloved, is the power and wisdom and music of God. It's a big day for Jeremy, and he's not usually one for having the spotlight shined on him. Nevertheless, Jeremy Zeroth stands in the long line of church musicians, a line that goes back not just hundreds, thousands of years. And yes, Johann Sebastian Bach stands in that line too. The Lutheran musical tradition, while it has had its own original musical contributions, stands in continuity with the music of God's people that go all the way back to the original hymnal, the Psalms. If you take the tradition all the way back, it is thought that the author of Psalm 139 is Adam himself. While the notes and the melodies and the chords, the suspensions and the resolutions, the rhythms, the isorhythms, all combine to beautify worship and adorn God's word with splendor, all of the music would be for naught if it did not deliver Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ, the gospel. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, says Paul, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Let's take Jeremy's anniversary today, not to give him so much a pat on the back, but he deserves it. But remember, with our lips and our hearts and our voices that we preach Christ crucified and we sing Christ crucified, because to those who are called, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God and the music of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. And I'll add that that music of God is, well, it's more musical than men. In fact, music is what happens on the cross. Lutherans are accustomed to saying that Jesus justifies man on the cross, that we are made right or declared to be right with God for the sake of Christ's death. But you could just easily say that Jesus harmonizes man and God from the cross, that he brings us into the divine life of the Trinity. Our notes are added to the triad of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to swell a luscious chord. So let's not stop singing. Sometimes Jeremy and I pick tough hymns, and that's okay, because we want you to hear it. Not because Jeremy tickles the ivories so well and stomps on the bass pedal so well, but because of what it says. What does the text say? Is it delivering Jesus Christ and him crucified to you? That's what matters. And occasionally, if we pick a dud, we have eternity ahead of us, and we won't have to worry about dud hymns when we're standing before the throne of the Lamb of God in that great choir. I got a coda for you today. A coda is that thing that you take at the end of a musical piece. This is from Robert Jensen, who is a Lutheran theologian, and it's from his book, Systematic Theology. And the last chapter of his book is called Telos. That's a Greek word. And since we're all Greek scholars here, I need not translate it, right? You know what it means. It means end. That's what it means, end. It's the shortest chapter of this two-volume work, half a page. Here is what Robert Jensen has to say. God will reign. He will fit created time to triune time and created polity to the perichoresis, another beautiful Greek word, probably my favorite, the inner penetration of the Holy Spirit. The perichoresis of Father, Son, and Spirit. The last word to be said about God's triune being is that he is a great fugue. And Bach wrote a number of those, and they're beautiful. Therefore, the last word to be said about the redeemed, that's you and me, is Jonathan Edwards' beautiful saying, "When I would form an idea of a society in the highest degree happy, I think of them sweetly singing to each other." The point of identity, infinitely approachable and infinitely to be approached, the enlivening telos, end of the kingdom's own life, is perfect harmony between the conversation of the redeemed and the conversation that God is. In the conversation that God is, meaning and melody are one. The end is music.